I changed producers on this album to Matt Fell, who won Producer of the Year last year with Sarah Storer. That's not why, obviously, I picked him, but I'd already decided. And then he came, I was at the Academy doing, you know, doing the
all
teaching.
All of the support, yeah.
Yeah, and so Matt came in to do a talk about music and recording and all of that. And the question was asked, you know, what do you think about recording in Australia versus Nashville? And, you know, his answer was, well, just do whatever you want to do. There shouldn't be that political kind of, oh, we'll keep it Australia. You know, we shouldn't have that protectionism in a way, which I kind of agree with. And he said, I'd love to go over and make an album in Nashville. If you want to do yours in Nashville, let me know. And so I thought, oh, okay. Yeah, that could be fun. You know, I've done three albums here on the Central Coast in Sydney, Australia, and thought, yeah, actually, I want to do it in Nashville. I really do, like a bucket list kind of item. So, yeah, we just booked the flights pretty much the week or two later, went to Nashville 3 days in the studio, recorded the album, but didn't finish it because basically you just do drums, bass, guitars, and then came back home with all, you know, a hard drive of you know, a lot of money spent and hoping that I didn't press delete on the hard drive. And so now we're in the studio in Sydney finishing it. So, you know, it's a love child, this album. It's a half Australian, half American album.
And how intense were those 3 days?
Well, they were long days. And you know, my involvement was pretty minimal because I'd written the songs and all I had to do was sing them in the booth. And no, it wasn't going to be a final vocal really anyway. I was going to come back to Australia and do the final vocal. So, you know, I just kind of got to hang. I didn't have to play instruments all day. So, yeah, it was just really fun and really inspiring. You know, the drummer is Sheryl Crow's drummer, and he's also plays on my favourite album at the moment, which is a girl called Kacey Musgraves in America. And so, yeah, just to, you know, and have those guys playing on my stuff and just taking it to a different place. And you know, I'm certainly not one to say, gosh, it's not going to be any better than if I'd done it here in Australia at all. It won't be. It'd be exactly the same. But it was just about the experience, and it's kind of like a holiday as well. So,
do you get much say in? And did you get to sort of have a chat to the guitarists and the drummers and pick them yourself?
Yeah. Well, I wanted that drummer. I love the Kacey Musgraves album, so I picked the engineer and the drummer from that album. And but you know what? The album is absolutely nothing like her album. I wanted that really like laid back sound. No, this is really rocky.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So I'm really excited about it.
How did you pick the songs? A difficult process deciding what to include?
Well, it kind of was until I sent all the songs to my producer, Matt Fell, and he came back with yes, 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 no, 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 no. So, you know, what I thought I had 20 songs actually got whittled down to 11 songs. So I didn't really have to make any decisions because he said, love these songs, don't love that. And there was only one, I think, that we actually fought over, one that I went, well, I'm sorry, you're wrong. I like it. It's going on the album. And he went, okay, it's your album. That's so
Amber, Matt's interesting because we've spoken to him a few times on the show and he loves to include all kinds of crazy instruments and travels the world looking for them. Are you expecting those kind of suggestions through the process or has it already happened?
Yeah, well, the bouzouki's probably the weirdest one on this album.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You wouldn't think, would you?
No. So, it takes me back to that Monty Python joke, the cheese shop starts that way.
Okay. I'll have to look that one up. So bouzouki, but there's lots of percussion, heaps of tambourines and different sounds, like hand claps. Do you know how good hand claps sound? They really do. And there was a point in Nashville in the studio where he brought some of the boys into the studio to do hand claps. I'm like, hello, I've got hands. What's wrong with me?
What's wrong with girl hands? Come on.
I think he thought I didn't have rhythm or something. I wouldn't be able to clap in time. I'm like, come on, give me a shot. It's my album.
Because you do great tapping on the guitar. I think that's one of your big skills. So you've got lots of
that's
rhythm.
That's it. I can clap in time.
Right. That's all. Well, I look forward to hearing the bouzouki on the album. So how far away do you think you are from finishing it all?
It's 2 weeks away. So it'll be finished down by the end of May. And then I think, I guess, release date will be about August by the time you do the photos and scrub them up. And
super exciting.
Yeah.
Well, can we beg a song? And then I was going to ask you a few more questions about the gigs tonight and things, but what could you play for us this morning?
Well, something new?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
We'd love to hear that.
This song is called Honeysuckle, and it's... you know, I think I told you back in January, you know, I had a conversation with Troy Cassidaly and he just suggested for this fourth album, just think about home, think about all the things you remember growing up, all of that. And, you know, like the Lifesaver song is about that.
It's a gorgeous song.
And so this one is about being about 17, finishing high school, and how we used to hang down at the beach and it'd be the girls sitting in one corner and the boys in the other, and no one would talk to each other, but you know, you had your eye on one of them and hoped that he would ask you out. Coconut oil and a can of lemonade and a radio in the sand. Listen to the sounds of the boys of summer and he is gonna be my man. I smell honeysuckle, I'm gonna fall in love this summer. I'm gonna lay in the arms of someone he's gonna understand. Cross my heart and burst my bubble, I'm in the mood to make some trouble. I smell honeysuckle summer over me. Brown as a berry, ice cold cherries and spitting out watermelon seeds. School term's finished and the fun is beginning. Now the boy's really turning up the heat. Takes me down, down, down to the water's edge. Takes me down, down, take me all the way. I smell honeysuckle, I'm gonna fall in love this summer. I'm gonna lay in the arms of someone he's gonna understand. Cross my heart and burst my bubble, I'm in the mood to make some trouble. I smell honeysuckle summer over me. I am 17 again, with a flower in my hair, and I'm not gonna let a little sunburn get me down, 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 down to the water's edge. Take me down, down, take me all the way. I smell honeysuckle, I'm gonna fall in love this summer. I'm gonna lay in the arms of someone he's gonna understand. Cross my heart and burst my bubble, I'm in the mood to make some trouble. I smell honeysuckle summer over me. Oh, I smell honeysuckle summer over me.
The gorgeous Amber Lawrence on ABC New England Northwest. That's so evocative of childhood and just that age, that tender age, you know, when everything's just so exciting.
Yeah, exactly. Finishing school, it's all ahead of you.
Risking sunburn. Yeah, I love that line. What a great line. Amber Lawrence with us. She's in Gunnedah tonight if you have the chance. Now, I was just reflecting as I was listening to you singing, your concert during the festival was packed. That was a full house.
And yeah.
You just, how much fun were you having on stage during that performance?
Well, I love being on stage, you know. That's my favourite thing. A lot of people, a lot of singer-songwriters recording, they say, oh, you know, I hate the part about going on stage. Well, I'm like, no way, that's the best bit. I wouldn't be doing it otherwise. So, yeah, that was great fun. And to have that many people there, you're kind of backstage going, what do they want? What are the, why so many? What do they expect?
I hadn't seen that room so full ever. I just think it was just a great, great concert. You had wonderful guests pop up on stage, Becky Cole.
Yeah,
that was so
that
much
was
fun. Yeah, wonderful. Look, I was thinking about you the other day as I was watching the Anzac March. You were in Egypt last year with the troops. And it's not your first time, obviously, supporting the troops. You were in East Timor as well. When you get around to Anzac Day and you think about your recent time in Egypt supporting the troops, what does the day mean to you, or how do you reflect on it?
Well, 2 years ago I actually did march. We're invited every year. Any entertainers that have sung overseas for the troops are invited to march as part of the entertainment corps, and Little Paddy always leads that march. And, you know, doing that was such an honour to be, you know, in that parade, to be part of that. And I was actually at an event last Wednesday night for the post-traumatic stress of our troops, and I was the MC, and I said on stage that it's just amazing to be part of this family, to be taken into our, you know, because we've sung for our troops, we get considered as part of the family. And I wouldn't have any experience of that otherwise. I don't have any military in the family. I don't know anything about it. But now I do, and I really do empathise as well with the lifestyle. And you know, even there's a lot of troops that come back now from Afghanistan, a lot of young guys, you know, 20s, early, you know, teens, late teens, that suffer post-traumatic stress as well. So it's just really understanding that that it's not, you know, as entertainers, it's not, we go there for the great experience, but to come back with a bit more understanding of what our soldiers go through is really valuable, I think. So yeah, I feel kind of like that now that I have a song that's about that, now that I've been there, I'm one of the spokespersons for this new DVD, I feel like there's a bit more of a responsibility to actually understand it and spread the word.
Yeah, and that's The Man Across the Street, of course, is a huge song that we love listening to. But you're in a really unique situation, because we were just reflecting on it the day before Anzac Day last week, that we do spend so much time on thinking about the World War One, and we don't know a lot about East Timor and Afghanistan, and you know what our troops are doing in Egypt, and they're just doing a peacekeeping role. So you know, you're quite lucky in a way that you've got a personal understanding of all of that.
It's like an inside access, I suppose. Yeah. You know, even Egypt, we it's like I also said, you know, they kind of put the put us on a pedestal and say, you know, oh, you're doing amazing, giving up your time. But no way do any of us entertainers feel like that. We feel more privileged that we get asked to do it. No, I don't think any of us think, wow, we're amazing for doing this, you know. Wow, how amazing that we get asked to do this, that we get the privilege of these soldiers then coming up to us and saying, oh, thanks for coming over, thanks for singing that song, it gave me a little piece of home. Because, you know, can you imagine 6 months in Egypt and they're not allowed to leave the base, you know? It's not like, it's like being at the Academy of Country Music for 6 months, you know?
but I guess we're talking about how do we increase our cultural understanding of the current, you know, conflicts that Australian troops are in, and writing songs is one of the suggestions that came from our panel the other day, and Your Man Across the Street is a contemporary take on the situation, isn't it? So is it difficult to, and I know that was a very personal story, but, you know, writing contemporary songs about modern conflicts would be really challenging, I guess, because so little is known about it. It's not part of our cultural conversation very much, is it?
Yeah. Actually, there was a play I saw just a few weeks ago called The Long Way Home. And that was really eye-opening, just to see that people my age, or wives my age, you know, and their husbands have come home from Afghanistan or Iraq and their lives have totally changed. And I don't think we really think that that happens anymore. I think we kind of think it only happened in Vietnam, but yeah, it definitely does. And so I find it hard, like, to, you know, the man across the street, I did have the help of Colin Buchanan to write that song, because I find it hard to write songs, you know, that are like that. But I think the more writers that experience this stuff, we, you know, eventually more songs are going to come out about it and the word will be spread. And, you know, Luke O'Shea is great for that. He's really, really passionate about anything Australian and keeps on writing these stories. And so I haven't written a song on for this new album about you know, soldiers or anything like that at all, but yeah, it's always on your mind. It's certainly a topic.
Yeah, so the DVD that you've launched, what's your role in that into the future now?
So really just spread the word now. So we all donated our tracks. I donated The Man Across the Street, and Kylie Minogue's on there, and John Farnham, and Adam Harvey, Becky Cole. And I narrated the DVD, so I was doing your thing, you know, trying to do the nice voice. And so now that we've all done that and the DVD's actually out, we're just trying to spread the word, because it's $24.95, but that whole amount goes to the Repat Foundation.
Wow.
There's nothing taken out of it. So, you can find out more on my Facebook or anything if you want to buy that DVD.
What's it called again?
It's called Doing It for the Troops.
Doing It for the Troops.